This is All Things Considered on 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Hiplin. President Joe Biden is spending his first full day as Commander-in-Chief at the inauguration. Was Arkansas 2nd District U.S. Representative French Hill, a Republican of Little Rock. He was joined by most other members of the state's congressional delegation, as well as Governor Asa Hutchinson. Congressman Hill joins me now from Washington. Hi there.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for your time. There were thousands of National Guardsmen there, razor wire fencing. Has the security started being loosened there yet?
It has. You see some reduction in the troop force, and it was, I think, sad in some ways to see more guardsmen than spectators for our national 59th inaugural ceremony. But certainly it was safe, secure. It was a beautiful, cold, crisp day in Washington, and it was an honor to be present for peaceful transfer of power in the presidential swearing ceremony.
Well, tell me your thoughts on the new administration coming in and the transition, the transfer of power.
Well, first, I would say it's going to be an interesting period, I think. We have a tied Senate with 50 senators on each side of the aisle, with ties potentially broken by Vice President Harris. And we have a House Democratic majority that's been cut a little more than in half and is going to shrink some more as some of the Democrats in the House resigned to join the Biden administration. So Congress is as narrowly split as is possible. I think that opens opportunity, should the president want to use it, for compromise in moving some issues forward. In other words, it could lead to a centrist set of policies. We'll have to wait and see. And that's, I'm cautiously optimistic, but as I say, we'll have to wait and see.
And what did you think of the specifics of what President Biden had to say during his inaugural address?
I found the address genuine was the word I've used to describe it. It sounded like Joe Biden. It was from the heart. It was his love of country and his belief that Americans can rise above their individual sector or cultural differences and work together for the betterment of the whole country. So that's how I described his talk. He called for unity, and I think the president is uniquely positioned to, with that evenly split House and Senate, to try to achieve center-based policies that would lead to, it could lead to a more unified American people.
A week ago, Biden unveiled a nearly $2 trillion economic recovery plan that he's pitching to Congress as one of his first acts as president. It includes $1,400 to most Americans, an extension of the eviction and foreclosure moratorium until September, and a nationwide vaccine program where states have been handling this. Overall, what do you think of the plan?
I believe that the plan has got some good elements as it relates to more rapid focus and distribution of the vaccines. I think we can step that up now that we have the two vaccines plus Johnson & Johnson is near. That seems to me to be the best priority for our country right now, is getting the vaccine fully distributed. As it relates to the $1.9 trillion costs, that seems to me to be premature. And I say that because just in March and April, we put over right at $3 trillion into our state, local, education, health resources. And then in this December, we added another $900 billion, so nearly another trillion. When you add those together, in roughly 9 months, we will have appropriated as much money as we spend in an entire year for the entire federal budget just for fighting COVID-19 and trying to get the economy back open. So I'm cautious about the need at this moment for Congress acting to spend more money, Michael. And my judgment would be, let's look at the vaccine rollout. Let's focus on that and see where we are in late March, early April, and also see the success of the $900 billion that Congress approved in December.
And what else are you expecting in the president's first 100 days?
I think President Biden is going to put a major emphasis on what should we do in the area of climate change, regulatorily, tax policy, government policy generally. I think you'll see that to be a primary topic across many elements in the government. I think you'll see him tackle, as he's already discussed, the immigration issue. And in my view, in the 6 years I've served in the House, I believe we should reform our immigration laws in a bipartisan way and do border security. I think we should do both. I don't think it's an either-or proposition, along with fighting COVID-19 will be some 100-day priorities.
It's been just over 2 weeks since the storming of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters. You've worked with a Democratic colleague to introduce a bill honoring U.S. Capitol Police. What's the status on that?
We have just over, after working it for 2 or 3 days, over 100 co-sponsors now. My friend Ed Perlmutter is a lawyer. He represents part of Denver, Colorado in the House. He's a Democrat. We've introduced H.Res. 39, which focuses on honoring the rank-and-file Capitol Police, D.C. police officer that defended the Capitol on that fateful day of January 6th. We had two officers killed. We had, really, as you know, a desperate mayhem there, and we wanted all members of the House and Senate to recognize the bravery of these individual officers, and that's the purpose of H.Res. 39.
Where were you when this attempted insurrection happened?
I was in the Longworth House office building because of the COVID-19 distancing requirements in the House. I had not walked over to the House chamber yet to listen to the debate on the objection to Arizona. In fact, I was just getting ready to leave my office, and you could hear the noise on the west front. I can see the west front of the Capitol from my office. You could see the crowd building. You could hear periodic tear gas canisters going off. But we had no idea of the violence or the mayhem taking place on the west front of the Capitol. And just as I was walking to the elevator, the alert went off. We all have a cell phone security alert telling us that the Capitol was officially on lockdown and that all members and all staff should stay where they are and shelter in place. So I was not in the chamber during the worst of what happened on January 6th.
Well, the last time we spoke was just over a month ago. At that time, you said you recognized Biden as the president-elect. Were you surprised at the turn of events, especially as you and the rest of Congress were working to approve the Electoral College vote?
I was. I was shocked by a rally of citizens that turned into a group of criminal thugs who broke into the United States Capitol. I was surprised by it. I was shocked at the violence and the mayhem of it and depressed by it. I thought it was a very sad day for our country and a sad day for our historic capital. It could have been much, much worse, and I'm so glad that it wasn't. But I was refreshed by the fact that, once again, our Constitution and our Republic is strong, and we demonstrated that in the inauguration ceremonies at the U.S. Capitol.
Congressman French Hill of Arkansas' 2nd District, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Michael. All the best.
This is KUAR 89.1.